the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
19 in the third inning. That hit well to right field. Going back, looking up, and that ball is gone. Chaz McCormick doing what he does, hitting opposite field home runs. McCormick with his 11th bomb of the season, and the Astros lead it 5-0. That one hit to center field, going back at the wall, and that ball is gone. Martin Maldonado, number 11, and the Astros lead it 6-0.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's B-Mac behind the glass. No Brendan with us today. It's a Friday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Is there a better sound in sports than the off the crack of the bat?
I was thinking about that. Like, the neat thing with the ESPN Sunday night games is they've been getting... I love the mic'd up players, but I also love the fact that they've been using a little bit more of, like, the parabolics to catch... And I think it's obviously on delay, but you can even hear the home plate umpire talking to the guys and some of the things... I think it's awesome because it is, depending on which bat you use, but when the guys were even talking about it last night, I think it was, in terms of when guys barrel it up, it has a different sound.
Yeah, it does.
And it really does. And it's an awesome sound when you hear barrel squared up on baseball.
I love that sound. It was Chaz McCormick yesterday. Martin Maldonado getting a hold of one, too. Isn't it crazy that the Astros trade for two offensive upgrades, Trey Mancini, Christian Vasquez, and in their two primary positions are Yuli Gurriel, Martin Maldonado, that they've struggled pretty much all year. Yuli Gurriel, last 30 days or so. Martin Maldonado, very hot July. So you trade for two offensive upgrades over players who have struggled this year but have been hot. Like, it's just kind of ironic. It's strange for the Houston Astros.
You know, it reverts back to what started even more with the Last Dance of just some guys need external motivation. But, you know, it's like we were talking about yesterday about are there guys, like a caller said, do you think Maldonado's at the point where he's okay and just saying, I'll become a coach now or I'll become second string? No professional athlete with an ego is going to just step out of the way voluntarily and say, I'm going to let someone younger take my job. It's just not going to happen. But regardless of where the motivation comes from, sometimes it's coaching or management or a contract. But in this case, it is kind of crazy that it just seems like the minute they traded for Vasquez, that Maldi took it to an even bigger notch up to say, still my team, my pitching staff, I ain't going anywhere. And Yuli's already been doing it for over a month now. He and Bregman finally caught fire when we were waiting for it. But it is nice to see that it's a great problem to have, that you have the backup insurance plans that James Click wanted. But right now, Dusty, I'm not going to see him on the field as much as maybe I would like, but yet no matter who's out there seems to be getting the job done.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack from yesterday's game. I guess we can start there since you took us down. I think it was the storyline, especially until first pitch, right? Mm-hmm. You see the lineup a day after Trey Mancini homers, and Trey Mancini's not in the lineup. Instead, Dusty going with Mauricio Dubon in center field and Chaz McCormick in left field. And then on top of that, Kyle Tucker gets scratched because his belly wasn't feeling too good. So they go with Aledmys Diaz ahead of Trey Mancini, and then they move Chaz to right. Diaz plays left field. And look, I know the motive here for Dusty Baker. I understand the logic here because whenever I saw the lineup on Twitter, I just put LOL. Like, okay, you trade for Trey Mancini and you're going with Mauricio Dubon.
If you understand it, explain it to me because I simply don't.
Okay, let me defend Dusty. Let me defend Dusty, which isn't something I do a whole lot. You have Justin Verlander on the mound. So, okay, probably not going to give up a whole lot of offense, right? So you want a good defense behind him. And Trey Mancini's not a good defensive outfielder. I would push back and say Chaz McCormick's not great in the corners. And I would push back and say Aledmys Diaz isn't great in the corners. But anyways, you can even say, well, they're better than Mancini defensively. Okay, I'll concede that. Verlander's a fly ball pitcher. So you figure there's going to be more opportunities for the outfielders as opposed to Framber Valdez, who's pitching today, which, by the way, if Trey Mancini's not playing the outfield today with a ground ball pitcher and the best ground ball pitcher in all of baseball, Dusty Baker's telling us that Trey Mancini's not an outfielder, that he's only a first baseman. So I'm very curious today's lineup, because if Trey Mancini is not in today's lineup in the outfield, then Dusty's telling us Trey Mancini's a first baseman DH, and that is it. So for Dusty's logic yesterday, Verlander on the mound. Get my best defense behind him. He's a fly ball pitcher, so you don't want your lesser defensive players out in the outfield. Diaz, Chaz, they value him. They value them defensively more than Mancini. The other argument you would hear people say is that it's a big ballpark. Don't get out of here.
Stop
with that. It's 325 down the line in left field. It's 370 to left center field. If that is a big, we're not asking him to play center field in the Polo Grounds. If you can't defend left field because it's 325 down the line and 370 to the power alleys in left center field, that's not a big ballpark. So to me, it's more Verlander being on the mound, gets a lot of fly balls, didn't want Mancini, a bad outfielder, susceptible and prone to some fly balls into the outfield.
I don't think it's Dusty's call to make to say that he's not, if he, because you're absolutely spot on, but if he gets to make the determination of whether Mancini's an outfielder or not, I got a real issue with that. And I got a real issue with where the communication simply lies at this point between the general manager and the head and the manager. Because it drives me nuts that you got a guy for this very reason. And I understand defensively he's not the greatest outfielder in the world, but I hate to break it to you, but neither is Michael Brantley. And Michael Brantley doesn't have an arm. And what this is well before he just injured that shoulder. He never really had an arm. And he's not fleet of foot either. So you look at it and say, I'm more apt to say what we were talking about previous to this, which is I can see Chaz in center field because he has the most speed of anybody. And he's not afraid to go into a wall or chase down a ball, though you might have some issues. I don't have as many issues in worrying about his defense.
Who's that?
Chaz. But if you're going to take a bat out of the lineup like Tucker, if he's ill.
Yeah, he was just unavailable.
Whatever it was, okay? I'm not saying he took him out purposely. If you're going to lose a bat like that, I don't want to replace him with a Dubon. And I know Chaz came up big last night. I understand that Aledes Diaz has been hot, and I'm the one that's saying you got to ride the hot hand. So I don't mind if it's Diaz playing, but I don't understand why you don't put Diaz in either left or right. You put Chaz in center, and you put Trey Mancini in the other corner outfield position, and you're a better offensive team. You don't lose that much defensively, and then you get the Verlander factor in as well, and you're okay. They're lucky they won the game, and it turned out, and everybody was happy with the way the results panned out with the 6-run cushion for most of the game, for all the game. That's fine, but I don't understand Dusty's thinking, especially when the guy hit a home run in his first full game with his new team.
I think you can understand the logic; you just disagree with it. Because he wants to get his best defenders out there. Because I agree with you. Like a bunch of Dusty defenders came out at me yesterday on Twitter. Oh, it's a big ballpark, dude. It's 325 down the left field line, 370 to the left center field. It's not the Polo Grounds. He's not defending Camden Yards, where he's played some outfield at a bigger ballpark, not left field. There, he got stuck in right field because it's an easier right field to navigate than left field. Easier to patrol. It's curious. Like, it's one of these things where, okay, like, I don't know if the Astros actually look at Trey Mancini as an outfielder. The first game that he played was as a pinch hitter.
Yep.
The second game, he started at first base. They gave Yuli the day off. And then yesterday, he pinch hit for Yordan once it was a 6-0 game late. So if he's not playing in the outfield today, then he's not an outfielder. Because this is the game that you put him in the outfield for. Framber Valdez, who gets a decent amount of strikeouts, but then at a very high ground out rate, this is when you can hide him a little bit in the outfield.
But here's the thing, Jeremy. I understand what you're saying defensively, but I've seen too many times throughout the year, especially early on for Justin Verlander in his first couple of starts, where he basically only had 4.5 hitters in the lineup. Like, he goes, if that's what you want to say about going pro defense, it's still Verlander. You still got to score a run or two for him to be able to win, and God forbid he might give up a run or two where he makes it interesting because you're not giving him a fighter's chance on the offensive side. I understand that this team is capable, but you look at the numbers, and they have been basically underachievers offensively based on what you see on paper. And I just think that, with Verlander going the way he's going, with how important wins are to him and how everything, you knew you were going to have to, you were going to come to this point in the road where you knew he was going to be able to become a free agent. That's fine. But you want him to want to stay. He wants to play with a winning team where he has a chance to win every start with good offense behind him so that he can chase the record books as well as play on a competitive team that's going to play in the postseason. Everything matters with Justin Verlander. I get it, but give him the chance to score runs from a team that has been underachieving offensively with better bats in the outfield. And like you said, you're still going to be fine in the outfield, but I the minute I saw it and I tweeted about it, and I knew, and Patrick Creighton is, of course, always the guy that's going to stir it with me. But, the minute Chaz hit the home run, now he's coming at me with Chaz. I didn't say it was about Chaz, But I don't understand why Trey Mancini somewhere isn't in that lineup.
Yeah, it's a curious. And a lot of people were upset about it on Astros Twitter, and they would push back. Well, the Astros still won 6-0. Okay, you still win in blackjack when you're hitting 17. Yeah. Like, it's to me, just because you win the game and just because you got the result you were looking for doesn't make the decision right. If you're hitting on 17 in blackjack with the dealer showing a bus card, you can pull a four. Was it the right decision? Was it the right call? No, it was not the right call. But to me, today's lineup is critical to understand what the Astros think of Trey Mancini. James Click, when he talked to Kevin Eschenfelder and Jeff Blum post-trade deadline, which Kevin Eschenfelder is going to be joining us at 2 o'clock, he mentioned that they like Mancini in a variety of different roles. First base, DH, corner outfield spots. We've not seen him in the outfield yet. We've yet to see him play in the outfield for the Houston Astros. If he's going to play left field or right field pretty much in his entire, you know, the rest of the way, he's going to do it when Framber Valdez is on the mound. Framber Valdez is pitching for the Astros today. If Trey Mancini is not in the lineup card in the outfield with Kyle Tucker, you know, still having a sore stomach, who knows if he's going to play Aledmys Diaz with a busted up ring finger because they don't know how to call fly balls out in the outfield.
They sure don't.
Whether it's Dubon, Diaz, or Myers, who is a late substitution as well. If he's not in the lineup today, Dusty Baker and James Click are telling you, Houston, that we don't believe in Trey Mancini as an outfielder.
And that would piss me off because that's not why James Click acquired him. And I don't believe that that's James Click's way of thinking. Unless I hear it from James Click, there's no way I believe
that. He's told you the opposite.
Yeah, because everybody has said he's an insurance policy across the board. But as we called it, instead of an insurance policy, he gives you options because he has the ability to be versatile. And the versatility is what is the biggest selling piece on why they got him. Because instead of just going and getting a Bell who's going to play first base and first base alone, especially with the way Yuli's playing, you now have a guy that's played first base, that's played corner outfield, that can DH and can fill multiple positions for you. Now all of a sudden, because your manager is old school and didn't know anything about Trey Mancini other than that they both beat cancer, now suddenly you're going to say because he decides he's not an outfielder that that's okay? I'd have a real problem with that if that's the case. He better be out there today.
We'll take your thoughts, 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. You mentioned the Chaz McCormick thing. We'll get into that a little bit because I feel like he needs more run, actually. But also, look, let's assume that Trey Mancini's only a first baseman. If this is a Trey Mancini versus Yuli Gurriel debate, who plays? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Trey Mancini not in the lineup yesterday. Dusty defenders, oh, it's a big ballpark. Oh, which it's not. It's not. Like, people came at me, oh, it's a big park. 325 down the left field line. It's 370 to left center field. In what world is that a big park? What world is that a big park? Like, how is that your defense? It's a big ballpark. If you can't defend left field when it's 325 down the line and 370 to the power alley, you're not a left fielder. And maybe he's not a left fielder. Today we're going to find out. If Trey Mancini's not in the outfield today, then they don't believe in him as an outfielder. You know what's going to happen? They're going to play. They're going to play Yordan in left and have Mancini DH.
They better not. Look, this is the kind of thing that I guess you should feel lucky as an Astros fan that your clubhouse is as tight as it is, and that they all just kind of roll with it and they all stick together. Because this is the kind of thing that can take a really, really close to perfect situation in terms of roster and attitude and togetherness and all that stuff and drive an ice pick right through it. Because at a certain point, whether it's the players themselves individually or in certain groups, they're going to step up and start saying, what are we doing here? Like, we continually, every single time Dusty does this kind of thing, but the thing that, the minute the trades were made, the thing that started crossing my mind when I heard Dusty on the in-game interview on ESPN was, oh, God, here we go. He's going to do it again. He's going to play his loyalties, and you got to earn it to be in on it. So, therefore, I know we just traded for you, but until I know and trust what you can do, and who knows what that criteria is for you to be in Dusty's inner circle, that you're going to be on the outside looking in, and I'm going to still play Mauricio Dubon, and I'm still going to throw out there these odd, quirky lineups, playing whoever I feel, whenever I feel, and the only caveat is if you're red hot, you're sitting your ass down. It drives me batty. to watch him do this on a game-by-game basis.
What does that mean?
Nuts! You've never heard the expression, it drives batty? Me batty?
I've heard batty used in a lot different ways.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree with you. Like, I'm not going to sit here and push back on that because I agree with you. We're going to learn a lot today about what they think of Mancini as an outfielder. 4488 says Diaz was scheduled off yesterday until Tucker got ill. Diaz's mindset was taking the day off. Why wouldn't you play Mancini and allow Diaz the day off? Preaching to the choir. And the response would be, JV is a fly ball pitcher. We want our best defensive outfield out in the outfield, even though Diaz, Dubon, Chaz McCormick, not really going to win any gold gloves for you. But let's operate under the premise that Mancini's not going to be a left fielder. He's not going to be a right fielder. He's going to be a DH. He's going to be a first baseman for Houston. If this is only Mancini's a first baseman guy, it turns into a Trey Mancini, Yuli Gurriel debate. Which one of the two guys is a bigger bat, is more of a factor offensively, Mancini or Yuli? If Mancini's only a first baseman, which of those two plays?
See, this is, first of all, that would defeat the purpose of why you made the moves you made. It shouldn't come down to that. I think if it has to come down to that, I think unfortunately for Mancini, with the way that Yuli's been hitting the baseball and the fact that he's the best defensive first baseman that you have on the roster, and defense obviously means something during the regular season, it means more during the playoffs, I would say that if I had to make that choice just on that criteria alone, I got to say Yuli. But I got to say that then you completely failed as a general manager, because it's not just the trades you made, but the communication with your manager who said he was involved in these communications during the trade deadline. There should have been discussions before you pulled the trigger and said, Dusty, look, if I go get this guy, he's going to play in the corner outfield positions as well as first base and DH. He's going to be a guy that we need, that we can use, that we should use in all three positions. If he didn't say yes then, and that communication didn't happen, and now this is Dusty's way of thinking and he's going to be able to get away with it, I am going to lose my bleeping mind. Batty.
I think you're going to know today when the lineup's out. I really do. Today's a critical day in terms of the Mancini left field, outfield guy. Now, look, I think there's two different ways of looking at Yuli versus Mancini. If we're operating under the premise that Mancini's only a first baseman for the Houston Astros, because we haven't been given any information other than James Click saying that to AT&T, that he's going to play in the outfield. I still think he probably will. But if it's a Mancini versus Yuli debate and who deserves to be in the lineup more, to me it comes down to what you put more weight in, what you value more. Do you value the body of work in 2022 more, or do you value, let's just say, the last 30 days more? Because you have two separate answers if that's what you value. If you value the whole body of work, and let's keep in mind Trey Mancini was playing in a pitcher's park, that certainly is an issue. And people I've heard say, well, you'd pitch to Mancini differently if it was at different ballparks. Well, we saw the home run he had at Minute Maid that would not have been a home run at Camden. Just saying. So, like, Mancini's 2022 overall, the body of work has been better. He's been a better offensive player for the entire season. Now, if you look at the last 30 days, that swings over to Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel's been better in the last 30 days than Trey Mancini. So if you're asking the hard question, and look, if you want to weigh in, 713-780-ESPN, I think I lean Yuli Gurriel right now, to be honest.
But here's the thing that doesn't swing, Jeremy. And it came out starting from the interview, and there's no reason to not believe Dusty Baker. The fact is that you know James Click did his due diligence. You know that James Click and his staff did the analytics, and they know the difference between Camden Yards and Minute Maid Park.
Sure.
And they know the versatility.
Defensively, too.
Yes, and they know the versatility he brings to the table. They know what he's done throughout his career as a reliable stick. They know all the different things that he could bring to the table. But Dusty doesn't, because Dusty didn't know a damn thing. And you could say it's one thing about the All-Star game and not knowing a starting pitcher that you saw in the American League Championship Series. It's an entirely different scenario when you're talking about a guy that's going to be on your roster for the rest of the season and could play a vital role in you guys getting to a World Series or going deep into the playoffs, because you can play him in a multitude of different positions where he can enhance your roster, your lineup, and wherever he plays defensively. And the fact that if that is going to be something at the end of the season, we look back and say, hey, Dusty just didn't get it, or he didn't understand, or didn't want to play him in left field, and that was okay, then Dusty shouldn't be the manager of this team next year.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. We've been banging on that drum for a long time.
Yes.
I don't know. We weren't doing a show together yet when they hired him, but he was last on my list. I did not want Dusty Baker as the manager of this team. 6955. It's refreshing to hear someone in the media finally criticize Dusty for his litany of moronic lineup decisions. The Astros went in spite of Dusty. Dusty Baker hits on 17 and pulls a four. That's what Dusty Baker managing a Major League Baseball game in 2022 is.
He has the it's not even a luck. He has the beautiful science of being able to have one of the best lineups in baseball at his disposal every single night that bails his ass out. But I welcome that listener, that text message to the show, and thanks for listening to us. If you have been listening to us for any length of time at all, you know we are probably one of the only shows in this market that does not hold back in calling good when it's good and bad when it's bad. And we continually have called Dusty Baker out for these kind of decisions. And I don't get it. I don't care what's cooking in his pot belly that decides what he's going to make a decision on. That's fine if you're managing the freaking Detroit Tigers. But if you're managing a team of this ilk, of this caliber, that's done what it's done and wants to do it again, you could say, well, it's a long 162-game season. I'm going to rest a guy here or there. And I have an issue with that, but I'll live with it. But the fact that you went out and did something to better your team, I mean, you got no qualms about throwing Smith out there in back-to-back days right off the bat, just going with him. But yet, you don't have a rat's ass clue about the two major guys you brought in that are supposed to be contributors to this club. Now, from a Vasquez standpoint, I get it because Maldi knows the staff. We talked about all of that. And Verlander's a very particular guy, so I get that too. But he did his job with Urquidy, so you know he can do what he needs to do defensively. But offensively, and from the versatility standpoint, the fact that you had a key open area last night with Tucker out being sick, and that's how you chose to handle who replaced him, it's just mind-boggling.
Look,
to me.
There was more than one way, too. There was more than one way to get him in the lineup. And I know that people, well, you know, Chaz versus Mancini. Chaz had a great day at the plate. Okay, fine. We'll concede Chaz. How about Chaz play center and not Dubon?
Yes.
Or how about not Diaz and Mancini? Or you could even have the discussion, Yuli Gurriel or Trey Mancini. Look, Yuli Gurriel and Diaz yesterday, because those were two names that Dusty Baker chose over Trey Mancini yesterday. He chose Yuli Gurriel over Trey Mancini at first base. And look, I don't even blame Dusty for that, because last 30 days, Yuli's been great. I hope it continues. Yuli was 0-for-5. So if you want to play like, well, the Astros still won, and like Dusty knows what, you know, what buttons to push. Well, Yuli went 0-for-5 if you want to get very specific. Okay, well, Diaz, yeah, he's been hot. Well, if you want to get specific and play the one-game sample, as we all know that you like to do, Diaz was 0-for-4. So the two dudes that you chose ahead of Trey Mancini were combined 0-for-9 yesterday.
Here's the thing. The other, if Mancini looked like he was still trying to get comfortable in his new surroundings, if he looked like deer in the headlights, kind of like Vasquez has been since he's been here with his press conferences, then you'd say, look, I'll ease him in slowly. He hit a home run in his first full game with the Astros. So under that premise alone, and the fact that he enjoyed the hell out of it and felt the love of his teammates and said he's just loving every minute of being here and he's a true team guy, why the hell wouldn't you put him back out there coming off that kind of performance?
Let him ride. Let him be hot. 713-780-ESPN. You cool with Dusty? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
You cool with Dusty Baker? It's about a 60-40 split, I think. 60, worried about Dusty. 40% like to defend Dusty at all costs. Yeah, you won 6-0. But the two dudes that you picked ahead of Mancini were combined 0-for-9. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Dennis, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Dennis?
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, it's refreshing to hear that there's some Dusty, anti-Dusty Baker talk on the radio. I'm so with you. I think overall, if you look back in the Dusty Baker's past, he's probably cost us some big wins, difference makers, and I feel like we're headed down that road again. The Astros have to win in spite of him. I think Gerrit Cole, he still leaves, but he doesn't leave with the press conference of his agent's hat on his head and F Houston on the way out if he gets a shot. That's what we bring him in for. We have good talent that we just got, Mancini, Vasquez. He's got to figure it out. He's an old school manager. He throws a lot of innings on our starting pitchers. We're just lucky we have the people that we have here, or he would look like a chump.
Appreciate the call, Dennis. I think it's all very accurate. And these were the things I was scared of whenever they hired Dusty Baker. Because, look, this isn't new. This is Dusty Baker over the course of his entire career. He's won 2,000 games, top 10 wins. That's fantastic. He's had some unbelievable teams and has never won at all.
When you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was I didn't have a problem when they hired him right off the jump because I thought he was the best guy for the job with the scenario that was facing them. With all the backlash coming off of the cheating scandal and the ruling and all that they were going to have to go up against, and because he had been there and done that in a similar type situation, that he would be the guy to get him through the short term. But I didn't think this was going to be a long-term scenario. Now, to the credit of him and to the team more so than anything else, success led to him hanging around, okay? But I'm just saying, to the caller's point too, but more so to what we're saying is, it's not anti-Dusty. We're not hating on Dusty. We're loving on the game of baseball and the way it's supposed to be played and managed the right way. And you can take it to a certain level to where you have acceptance for a guy getting a day off. That's one thing. It's also a little bit more difficult when you give that guy a day off after he's had multi-hit games in three of the last four and a home run in his last game. And I'm just saying, this is not regarding Mancini. This is other situations we've seen. When a guy is at his hottest, we actually now have become joking about the fact that that means he's got to sit down the next day. And those are the kind of things that are head scratchers. Those are the kind of things when you say, not that I can sit there and say a manager's going to cost you what the caller said in terms of how many games he's lost, but you're starting from a position that is not of strength when you put a lineup out there that is as weak as some of the lineups he's put out there with capable players sitting on the bench throughout the regular season. When you look at it and how it translates to the playoffs, we haven't seen it for this year yet. And thankfully, you've had just such a talented team that they've been able to overcome Dusty in a lot of ways to this point. You just don't want it because it's so important for so many reasons if this team could win another one. You don't want it to be the reason why they didn't get another one, as opposed to you want a manager to be able to give the team every chance to get to the chance to win another one.
Yeah, you want him to put you in the best chance to win. I think he's done a better job with the pitching staff than his previous stops. Like he gets dragged for the way that he handled the pitching staff in Chicago with Wood and with Pryor. And they've talked about this on the broadcast, how it's Josh Miller, who's the pitching coach in the dugout, Murphy's the pitching coach in the bullpen, how Miller pretty much calls the bullpen and tells them when to get up. So I think Miller's really making a lot of the pitching changes and pitching decisions in the dugout, why that it's gotten better, in my opinion. And the fact that you have not anymore because you traded Odorizzi, but I expect you to get back to that once Lance McCullers returns, the six-man rotation helps the arms as well. Look, I agree. I think the Astros do win in spite of Dusty Baker. I don't think that there's many more managers in baseball that lose more games than Dusty. I don't even think Dusty loses a whole lot because it's baseball. Like Tony La Russa looks like, he's falling asleep in dugout. So I'm thankful for Dusty Baker whenever I look at Tony La Russa. But then I look over in the Astros dugout and it's like, I'd rather have Joe Espada call on the shots than Dusty Baker. At least Joe Espada has heard of Shane McClanahan. He knows what Trey Mancini brings to the table. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 8875. I would love to see the lineup with Yordan in left, Mancini at first, Yulia DH. Probably would not be an everyday lineup with Yordan in left field all the time. My biggest thing with Yordan in left field is this is your best player. This dude is your best offensive player and arguably the best offensive player in all of baseball. So if you have that dude that's the best offensive player in baseball, and even if you put him in left field better than we thought he would be, slightly above average in left field versus average in left field, he's so good offensively, I don't want to run the risk of him playing left field, crashing against a wall, colliding with Jeremy Peña, running into Mauricio Dubon and or Jake Myers. The dude's such a good hitter, I don't want him out on the defensively. I don't want him in the field.
No, look, and I'm being asked on Twitch too, well, what is your ideal lineup then? There isn't an ideal lineup. You got to play the variables, right? But to me, kind of what we've been saying all along is, depending on who's pitching.
I have an ideal lineup.
Okay, and that's fine. If we can do it right now, if you want to do it, because to me, it's like you take into consideration where you're playing, who's pitching for you, who's pitching for the other team. Those things play into it. But to me, until you know what Michael Brantley's situation is, the ideal situation for you is to put Trey Mancini in left field.
That's mine.
As long as Yuli Gurriel is hitting the way he's been hitting, there's no need to upseed him. You can worry about the other two positions, and be honest with you, after what I saw again last night, I've seen enough of Jake Myers. I would rather try the platoon now of Chaz and Tucker in center field. See if Tucker wants to and can play center field. If he doesn't, try Chaz out there and see how it goes so you understand what you have going into the playoffs. And obviously Tucker then would be in right field. And then again, Bregman at third and Peña at shortstop, Altuve at second, Yuli at first. the catching position, you can rotate, you can alternate, you can do whatever once Vasquez gets up to speed with the pitching staff, but I'm comfortable with either one. But that's your best chance to win ideal lineup, and I think both of our minds.
You nailed it. With Brantley gone right now, with Brantley on the IL, like, okay, you have to eliminate him from the conversation for the right now. Like, and you're going to have off days, and we're cool. Like, well, I'm a little bit more acceptable of the off days than you are, but we understand there's going to be off days involved. But your base lineup, your everyday lineup, while Brantley's away, it should be Trey Mancini in left field. I go Chaz McCormick in center field because Jake Meyers looks lost offensively. Do I think Jake Meyers has more potential than Chaz McCormick? Yes, but it's not there right now. Chaz McCormick in 2022 is a better baseball player than Jake Meyers in 2022, even though Jake Meyers is a better defensive player, and we know that the Astros covet defense, especially in center field. But it's Chaz in center and Kyle Tucker in right, and you mentioned all the infielders. I don't need to go through it again, right. But Yuli is an everyday first baseman currently with this team. That should be your everyday lineup. So I think that answers that question.
And here's the other thing, Jeremy, as it relates to Jake Meyers, we're not down on Jake Meyers for the future.
No.
We know that Jake Meyers has had to overcome a lot with the injuries, right? But we know that those already were playing into his head because we saw from the minute he came back, he was very, very apprehensive going near the warning track or the wall. Then when he came in for balls, if he fell and caught it and missed, and then it rolled out of his glove or he missed it, then it was one shoulder or the other he was favoring. But when he made a catch that same way, then he wasn't. But you knew that meant the grinder was going and he was thinking about it on every play he was trying to make. And he looks overmatched at the plate. The first time we saw him as they were playing him in the playoffs a year ago, he didn't have that look in his eyes like he was about to get hit by a Mack truck. He looked like, I'm going into this with my best foot forward, knowing I can do this. He looks right now like he's playing scared to some degree, and he's not confident if he's not playing scared. And I don't need that guy out there right now with as good as this team is. There is a place for this guy going forward. I just don't think this year he is the answer in center field.
9852 says the caller said that Dusty Baker lost us the 2019 World Series Game 7. I didn't catch that, but if he did say that, then AJ. Yeah, he's not right. That was AJ Hinch, his final year as manager, his last act as manager for the Astros. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. John, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm calling. I'm a Yankee fan, and I just spoke to Houston last year, and Aaron Boone pulls the same stuff. We split with Seattle, and we were playing the getaway game. He sits Aaron Judge down.
Okay.
And then he had the next day off also. So Dusty Baker's not the only one doing that. Sitting down there,
squad. I got you, John. The Yankees, though, have one of the best offenses in all of baseball. They're cutting edge with the way they use Aaron Judge. They use him in the second spot most days. They lead him off other days as well. Dusty Baker bats Yordan Alvarez in the three hole, which is this antiquated idea that it's an optimal spot to bat in the lineup when it's not. There's no other spot in the lineup that bats more often with two outs, nobody on, than the number three spot in the lineup. So, look, I don't watch the Yankees day in, day out, so I really can't comment on that, John. You might want to call WFAN, maybe Michael K., could have some thoughts on that. I don't think John Sterling's doing the talk radio. Francesca, maybe. We have Mad Dog every now and then, John. Maybe we'll ask Mad Dog Russo what he thinks of the Yankees analytics. We might do that. Yeah, how about the Yankees Blues? Remember that? Remember when Ortiz said that, John?
What? Hey, don't sit Judge down when he's got a day off the next day.
Yeah, you don't have day off Dusty to worry about that, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, Dusty is also notorious for sitting a guy and when they have a day off the coming day,
too.
Does
Boone do that, too?
I don't know.
Does Boone do that, too, Dennis or John?
Dennis, John.
All time they do it.
I like John. John, you should call him.
I'll be calling in. Don't worry.
Sounds good.
John, we appreciate you, man. Be good, except for the Yankees. We want them to suck. You know what I'm saying?
John sounded verklempt about everything. I like John. John's going to be our new New York ambassador. Our
John
New York
is the ambassador to Killer B.
Yeah, I love it. 713-780-ESPN. You cool with Dusty as the manager? Let's get the Mancini stuff out of here. Mancini versus Yuli. All this stuff. Like, let's ask it in a very broad way. Are you okay, and do you still get excited, or were you ever excited, with Dusty Baker as the manager of the Astros? 713-780-3776, Friday. Who cares? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, we're in hurricane season, but we haven't really seen any of it, though we could see some rain today. That's not going to be hurricane-like strength winds. Before we get to true hurricane season and see some really inclement weather, you need to make sure your roof is in tip-top shape. That's why you call Fitz Roofing, because Fitz Roofing does free, no-obligation inspections that cost you absolutely nothing and can give you the peace of mind of knowing your roof is in good condition, getting ready to withstand whatever comes with hurricane season. All you got to do is call them, 832-521-3001. They come to you and tell you what they can do and what your roof may need, from a leaky roof to a whole new roof on your business, your home, or your commercial establishment. They can take care of it every step of the way. You'll feel good knowing you got the best company in the business that has the best warranties, the best ratings, and use the best products, starting with CertainTeed shingles. But do it before it's too late, because the last thing you want to endure is not only roof damage, but the damage that has been done by the storm and a leaky roof. That means you lose personal property and cherished mementos, furniture, drywall, and other things. Before it's too late and before the true storms get here, get with Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com to see all the ways they can help you. 832-521-3001 for that free, no-obligation inspection. Fitz Roofing, making a difference. One home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So I went to fill up my water while you were during that spot, during that break there, and I walked by the studio, and BMAC is listening to us at literally the highest volume possible. I think BMAC is deaf, which is not a great profession to be in, BMAC. Radio, if you don't have great hearing, which we all kind of lose our hearing wearing these headphones every day. But why is it so loud in there?
Mostly because I just hadn't turned the volume down, but I don't have great hearing. I was a drummer all throughout high school and college and didn't take care of my ears, so my hearing is pretty crappy at this point.
Not great.
Have you worked with Patrick Creighton, BMAC?
I have, and he will blow your eardrums out.
And thus, say no more. Forget the drummer experience and everything else. Nothing is louder than PC. That's why you are doing what you are doing. I get it.
We're banging the anti-dusty drum today. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I honestly think that this is perhaps the most polarizing conversation to have in this city. Maybe polarizing is the wrong word. The most divisive sports conversation to have in this city, where you are with Dusty Baker. Because either way, you have a strong opinion. Whether you're anti-Dusty Baker, you have a strong opinion. Whether you're a Dusty defender, you have a strong opinion. There's not a whole lot of middle ground when you talk about your thoughts on Dusty Baker as a manager in 2022. Look, I think that we're always kind of on. One, we're always honest, period. We're honest with Dusty, and whenever he messes up, doesn't mess up. We've given Dusty Baker credit, too. If you listen to our show for long enough, it might take a while, but we'll give Dusty some credit when credit is due. I think that we're also very honest about like a manager's job and then their plus minus when it comes to wins over a major league season. A manager in baseball isn't affecting the game the same way an NFL head coach could affect the game. Sean McVay is going to win you some games in the NFL. A manager can do that in baseball, maybe two or three over 162. Really, what is the, like, how much does that actually matter? How much is the value there? And I don't necessarily think that the Astros, like, I don't think Dusty loses the Astros games. He just doesn't always. Right. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. We can have that conversation too. He just doesn't always put them in the best chance to win when there's tons of other managers around baseball. I think Joe Espada would be better putting the Astros in a better chance to win.
The hunch game, the gut feeling game, the overdoing the rest game, the timing of when you rest guys game. Those are the things that we are critical of Dusty about. Like I said, he has been in such a blessed situation that his team is so good, they can overcome a lot of his shortcomings as an old school type manager. This isn't about crapping on Dusty Baker, the person. This is about calling it as we see it, as we follow baseball as it is today, which is more than the old school way of managing a game. And though I can't sit there and specifically call game after game in terms of games that they've cost you, and we know in baseball it's not to where you can lose games as easily as a manager or be responsible for them as you can in other sports, as we've seen especially with the Houston Texans. But when you think about it, you know there are times the lineup he put out there, the decisions he made with pitching, the other things that he has even been notorious throughout his career for being criticized for are things that have popped up here too. The only thing that's been a blessing for Astros fans is, and even the most diehard of Astros Twitter-type Astros fans, when they know baseball, they will admit to you, hey, look, we've got a great team. I don't always believe in or agree with what Dusty does, but I know that the team itself is really good. And no one's taking anything away from that way of thinking because we believe that too. But you just want to make sure that before you get into the most important time of the year and you have decisions that need to be made by a competent, modernized manager that knows the best thing for his in his specific club, that Dusty is not going to Dusty enough to screw you out of a win when you need it most, as opposed to putting you in the best position to win regardless of how the game plays out.
See, look, this is like the opposite approach, because I really think it's like 60% anti-ish Dusty, 40% over-the-top positive for Dusty. And to me, these two comments from Twitch kind of show the great divide here. Rex Ryan on our Twitch: we got a bat at the deadline and Dusty's playing Dubon over him. Managers have been fired for less. Fair point. Mr. Wafer 29 should rename the show the Dramatic Bees. Like, and that's because of the way we're speaking about Dusty Baker. So, like, it's amazing the great divide between the two sides. And it's fascinating to me that you could watch the nine innings, 162 games a year, and watch the decisions that Dusty makes. It's not even the batting order, right? It's, you know, not walking Aaron Judge. It's pinch hitting Yordan Alvarez with first base open. Like, there's a litany of things that you see over the course of 162, the nine innings of those 162, where you're just sitting there scratching your head and like, would that dude sitting next to him, Joe Espada, make that same move? And it's 100% no.
Yeah, no, I believe that Joe Espada gets it because he knows the fine balance between old school managerial styles and what analytics and the shift and everything has brought to the game. And understanding, basically, again, that's all saying something. And there's a book, you know, to be followed in terms of how that all translates to some degree. The other thing is how it equates to your own personal roster. The roster that you're responsible for on a daily basis is different than any other team in this league. And you know what their strengths and weaknesses are. You know the individuals within that game as well. But because of all of that and what we see following this team as closely as we do on a daily basis, we know, and most baseball minds know, whether they're a national guy or a local guy, and can call out, that's not the right move there. That's not the smart thing to do there. That's not the way to throw a pitcher out there. These are the kind of things that we see all the time. And like I said, it's fine in a 162-game schedule when you got a 10-plus game lead in the division and you know you're going to the postseason and you're going to be in a really good spot. What's not fine is if you don't know and understand fully where he's coming from and what he could or could not do in a key situation, you don't want to look back and reflect at the end of the year and go, damn, just like the 2019 World Series. Do you know what? Do you think A.J. Hinch is remembered more for the 17 title or the 19 screw-ups? Because I can tell you right now, more people are going to point to the 19 season and the way it ended, and they're going to look back in retrospect, and they're going to go, just like you guys want to look back in retrospect about what happened last night, and go, it's okay, we won 6-0. At the start of that game, you didn't know you were going to win 6-0. And when you analyze A.J. Hinch, more people are going to point a finger and be pissed off about 19 than they are going to give him a gold star for 17. And those are the kind of things you don't want to go through again with Dusty Baker. That's what I'm saying.
4237 says I'm right in the middle on Dusty, to be honest. That's the first opinion I've heard of somebody right in the middle on Dusty. It's either you like him or you don't like him. 4237, right in the middle. I don't know if I buy that. 4488, now that I think the comment Dusty made when he said Christian Vasquez can pinch run for Maldonado late in games was aimed at James Click. Dusty will play his guys when and where he wants. I don't agree with that. I think that Dusty Baker liked getting Christian Vasquez on this team because it meant that he wasn't going to have to play a rookie Corey Lee mini games, and he could also get Maldonado out of there. Maldonado was playing too much with Corey Lee as his backup. I just really think he's kind of lost it and delusional and doesn't realize who other players are. I mean, in fact, it's very clear he doesn't know who other players are. Yeah. If you're saying that, look, Christian Vasquez is faster than Martin Maldonado. So, yeah, that is a fact. But Christian Vasquez is never going to be used as a pinch runner in Major League Baseball. Just like Dusty Baker really didn't know Trey Mancini's game, even though he's in the American League and they play them. Just like he didn't know Shane McClanahan when he was managing him in the All-Star game, even though Shane McClanahan pitched against a team managed by Dusty Baker, the dude just doesn't know what's going on. He's lost it.
You're right. There's three separate indications right there. Three specific instances where you got to scratch your temple and go, does he even know the game, the players in the game anymore? Because you have to be hidden under a rock to not know that Trey Mancini has been basically the best player on the Baltimore Orioles for the last several years. To know that he's more than a guy that beat cancer. He's a guy that's been an all-star. He's a guy that's been able to do things that you want on your ball club that was so important to you that your general manager went out and got them for you. And then you go and convey the fact that, well, you know, I've been picking up the phone so much in the last couple days and talking about guys we could be getting or trying to get or going to get. But then as part of those discussions, what, your memory doesn't suit you that James Click fields you in on what this guy brings to the table and what he could do, or you just don't, you're not listening and don't want to hear it because you don't want to play him over the guys that you truly love and Pawpaw's heart? I don't get it, man.
Somebody just texted in and said, leave Pawpaw alone. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 0441, Astros defense and pitching is way above Major League Baseball average. Hitting is definitely not. Focus for Dusty needs to be on run production. End of story. That's the thing, too. That's what's led to these trades. That's why you traded for Mancini. It's why you traded for Christian Vasquez. The pitching numbers are great. The defensive numbers are great. The bullpen numbers have been great. The one team that, or the one area for this team where you're like, okay, they got to produce better. And I think even before the trade, you had the, like, you could see and forecast that the Astros offense could be better based on, like, Bregman heating up, Yuli heating up, getting Brantley back, Tucker snapping out of this, you know, funk that he's in. So, like, there was a way, even without the trades, that the offense was going to pick up the pace. But you traded for Mancini and Vasquez because offense has been the weakness of this team, even if it's Major League Baseball average. So, okay, you trade for a Vasquez. He's going to cut into the workload of Martin Maldonado. Okay, you trade for Trey Mancini. And, look, Yuli's season hasn't been great. His last 30 days have been great. But when you go out and get Mancini, who's arguably one of your best 5, 6, 7 bats, you need to find a way to get him in the lineup.
Get him in the lineup. Here's the thing, Jeremy. At least with Vasquez, you understand Click's line of thinking. Because when Click explained after the trade deadline that he had sleepless nights worried about if Maldi got hurt.
Yeah, which is very true. I had the same thoughts.
Not only is it true, but there's a legitimate reason to believe that you can understand why he said, I needed a backup plan. That didn't mean that the minute that I got Vasquez, he was my starting catcher. It meant that I wasn't SOL if something happened to Maldi. And, oh, by the way, if I get a guy the caliber of a Vasquez, that he can take more of a load off of Maldi and you can use him and make sure he still plays and not just be an insurance policy. So I get it if he wasn't going to be the starter right away. I think that the other player is a totally different story. When you heard what he said about Mancini, when you heard versatile, just like we had been harping, his versatility was huge in this move. When we said that's the main reason why, and you convinced me that that was the number one guy I wanted as opposed to Josh Bell, because it wasn't limited to DH first base, because he could play outfield and help you get over Brantley if, God forbid, he is out for the year, no matter how much they're telling you he's not. It was another insurance policy, but at three different positions, you got to believe at least one of them was available on a day-to-day basis for him to fill that role and play. The fact that he isn't, and his attitude has been so outstanding, and his production in the first full game that he played was with a home run that was bombed out of Minute Maid Park, mm-hmm. You're like, he hasn't done anything to tell you he shouldn't play.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 6761 just said, y'all have a heart attack after every loss. How do you live this way? Astros won 6-0 yesterday. It's not even a loss, man. That's what you get. You get some passion. You get some honest thought with the Killer Bee. 713-780-ESPN. We're still getting great reaction with this, so if you want to keep talking about this, we will. Dusty Baker, you still okay with him as the Astros manager? 713-780-ESPN. I wanted to get into the Chaz McCormick thing, too. We haven't even talked about Verlander's game yesterday.
Right.
Look, I guess
I did want to say, because the person that had suggested about Hinch, which is really where I got off, it wasn't a slap on the texter's wrist to say that. I appreciated them saying that, and that was his honest response. And that's why I said, if you're Dusty Baker or Astros fans, you don't want to look back in retrospect and think negatively about, like they do about A.J. Hinch, about Dusty Baker, who's done a lot of good things while he's been here.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.